go.
Ready?
I get the audio up.
Here it is.
Play around with it.
There it is.
Dr. Dre in the house, man. What's going on?
What's going on, Robert Four?
Man, I think we should be starting off the show with some basketball music, man. We're playing basketball now. Curtis Blow.
Oh, basketball is my favorite sport. I like the way they dribble up and down the court. I get the ball, and then I go and play like the superstars in the NBA. You know about that, right?
We're playing basketball again, people.
Wow, what a great day. Hey, all right, once again, welcome everyone. Talking Sports with 12th Man. Today is Wednesday, November the 30th. And once again, looking forward to a great show. Andre Peterson with your other boy, Robert Ford. So how you doing, sir? What's going on this week? Everything good?
Doing great. We got a lot to talk about tonight in 30 minutes. I know the time is going to fly by as usual. And we're going to get into this NBA lockout here really quickly. And then we kind of want to recap this past weekend in football and preview your upcoming weekend in football. And I guess if you don't mind, I kind of would like to tap right into a little bit of the NBA lockout being over to kind of kick off the show. And, a lot of wheeling and dealing seems to be about to take place. And actually, there's got this new amnesty clause. I don't know if you've heard about that, Dre, or are familiar with that. And,
I was reading up about that, too. I'm excited, too, to let you dive into that, too. It's funny because I make a lot of jokes about Allen Houston, but there was some little history with that, too, in 2005. But I'll let you jump into that, and we'll get started,
yeah. Yeah, for all the basketball fans out there, this amnesty clause. Now, one of the problems that the NBA has had over the years is that if you sign the guy and it turns out to be a bad contract, you kind of stuck with it. But now with this amnesty clause, you can actually cut a guy and he won't count against your cap. And you can only do this for, every so many years. So you can't really do this every year. What this basically means is you're probably going to see about four or five high-priced NBA players that are going to get cut. And one of the rumors, I don't know if you've even heard this, but one of the rumors is for your own Atlanta Hawks maybe possibly using this to cut Marvin Williams.
I was hoping you're going to say Joe Johnson, but Marvin Williams is the rumors. Yeah, go ahead.
That's the rumor going about it. A player like Gilbert Arenas is still due a boatload of money. Now, the player is still going to get the money, but what's basically going to happen is the team, it won't count against the team's salary cap, but the team will still be responsible for paying that salary. So even though the player is going to get cut, the player is going to get money, he's going to get the money, but the team, it won't be on the, they won't be counting against their salary cap. So you got players like Gilbert Arenas, Marvin Williams, that I'm hearing rumor. Brandon Roy because of the knee issue. There was a rumor about Ron Artest, but what I'm basically hearing, the Lakers, I think, or may try to keep Ron Artest and try to use their amnesty clause maybe a year or two later if they have to. And another rumor is Rashard Lewis, who still due like $45 million over the next 2 years with the Washington Wizards. You're talking about a guy who's only averaging about 9 points a game his last season or two in the NBA, and he's going to be due $45 million over the next 2 years. Wow. Are we in the wrong business or what?
Yeah, and that's another thing, too. And if you can explain this, too, because, and just real quick, I'm going to segue to the number, too. For those who want to call in, once again, we got the show number is 424-243-9519 to join in. And kind of explain this, too, because I was reading this, and I was very intrigued about it because what it sounds like, if you have the rumors that you're talking about, you could literally sign a Brandon Roy to a veteran's minimum, if you will, just to, sign him for whatever, and you can actually get a good player, come in and actually make an impact. So that's going to be interesting, too. So the player is still going to get paid their current their old salary, or excuse me, by their old team. I heard something about some bidding if they get signed. Is that kind of true, how that plays out? But I guess it goes into more detail, because that's the thing that's kind of hazy as far as, yeah, they're still going to get paid by their old team, but if they sign again, they can sign with the, you know, via minimum, or what happens to the contract? Who actually still has to pay for that? I mean, the old team somehow, or what happens as far as the bidding if they want to sign with a new team, or what?
Yeah, the former team is still due to, will still have to take on the contract that they're cutting them with. And, you know, sort of that team will still be on the hook for that. But that player could free to sign any contract with a new team. So basically he'll just be getting paid from two different teams.
Extra
you know?
Money, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. So, I mean, a guy like Rashard Lewis, I mean, like I said, he's going to get 2 years over the next $45 million. And he can go sign a one-year, $2 million deal with another team that may be thinking he can help them and make a run for, you know, a playoff spot to have a player like that to come off the bench. And so, I mean, you know, he doesn't really need a lot of money because he's already got a $45 million coming his way from the Wizards. And So you're going to have some teams that's going to go off after players like Brandon Roy, Rashard Lewis, and you know, try to offer them, you know, $1, $2 million a year just to come help a ball club or have a player like that to come off the bench. But, you know, they won't have to pay them the salaries, you know, that they're under contract for their current teams. So, I mean, it's going to be real interesting. There are a lot of rumors out there. Around the NBA now, a lot of rumors about Chris Paul, a lot of rumors about Tyson Chandler, Dwight Howard. I mean, it's all kind of looks like it's going to be a very, very busy frenzy in the NBA. Kind of like how the NFL, a huge frenzy once they came out of lockout mode. And it sounds like we're going to have a huge frenzy in the NBA as well. I know Tyson Chandler just did an interview tonight saying that he's convinced that he will not be back with the Dallas Mavericks. And, so that's interesting. There are rumors of Dwight Howard going to the Dallas Mavericks now. I mean, there are rumors of Chris Paul going to the Los Angeles Clippers. And so, I mean, there's a lot of rumors. I mean, obviously, we'll know these things for sure here in the coming weeks. But you know, there are a lot of interesting rumors out there in the NBA. So stay tuned, and we'll try to stay on top of it for you here in the coming weeks. And I don't know if you want to go ahead and give the listeners the phone number again as we segue into a little bit of college football talk.
Yeah, once again, the call-in number, once again, is 424-243-9519. And before we segue, I wanted to ask you a question. Did you see what who they projected, if you will, to win the title, Las Vegas, if you will? Do you kind of hear what they were saying? Who was the number one team, excuse me, to win?
In the NBA?
In the NBA, yes, sir.
Well, I saw that they're projecting the Miami Heat to be the favorite to win it.
Look at that, doing his homework. Good job, good job.
Yeah, it looks like they're projecting.
Yeah.
And there's rumors out there about the Miami Heat trying to do what they can to sign Nene away from the Denver Nuggets. That seems to be like their number one target. They're trying to get Nene. They want to add a little bit more of a physical presence to their team, and I'm not sure if they can squeeze him under the cap or what kind of salary he's willing to take. But based on the rumors I'm hearing, that seems to be the guy that the Miami Heat is targeting. They really are trying to get a Nene on their team, and I think they can still get by with Mario Chalmers at point guard if they can get a guy like Nene. And a point guard was another position that was a little bit of a weakness on their team last year. You know, I guess, you know, with LeBron James playing point forward so much, maybe they think they can get by. But they also feel like they want to get a little bit more physical. And they feel like if they can somehow get a guy like Nene to come to their team, that would definitely make them better. And get a little bit stronger down in the paint to go along with Chris Bosh.
Yeah, should be definitely interesting. Like you said, there's a lot of moves that are happening. And, you know, we don't know until it's going to come down to it. So we'll see how that plays out. So I guess moving forward, let's jump into some college football talk. A lot of things to recap. We're about 20 minutes down. And, you know, just recapping – just real quick, I don't want to spend a lot of time because we'll segue into the big game. you know, Georgia did their thing and kind of beat my Georgia Tech squad without any problems, so I'm not going to hold that against them. But obviously they got a big game coming up with the SEC Championship. Anything specific you want to talk about last week as far as anything that kind of stood out as far as the last couple of games here?
Well, I mean, we can talk about Arkansas LSU a little bit. I mean, Arkansas jumped out to a 14-0 lead on LSU. You know, kind of scared just about everybody in the state of Louisiana. And but you know, LSU, you know, just proved to wear them down and wore them out in the second half, and you know, was able to beat them pretty handily. And so that was a pretty convincing win. And had a little incident with Bobby Petrino, Les Miles, and very interesting. You know, I know everyone in Atlanta is aware of some of Bobby Petrino's actions, the way he left the Falcons, and he barely wants to shake Les Miles' hands at the end of the game. And so he's at it again a little bit. But yeah, pretty convincing win there by LSU. And, you know, it's you know, Stanford had a nice win over Notre Dame as well. And Virginia Tech just annihilated Virginia. So, yeah, just a few highlights from this past weekend. You already mentioned Georgia to Georgia Tech. And I kind of want to get into some of the big games this coming weekend. And, you know, and kind of make our predictions on the top 25 matchups. The first one I have here is 22nd-ranked Texas going on the road against 17th-ranked Baylor in the Big 12 matchup. A little bit of bowl significance there. For, you know, team whoever wins this game probably go to a little bit better bowl. Baylor's at home. Looks like Robert Griffin III will bounce back and play this week, coming off a concussion. I'm picking Baylor in this game at home.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards you, too. Definitely it's at home. And like you said, I know Robert Griffin III had a great, you know, obviously he's playing well this year, so I'm looking forward to seeing this what they do, too. So, yeah, I'm picking Baylor only because of the home field advantage.
Exactly, yeah. Robert Griffin, I mean, the numbers he's been putting up this year has just been incredible. Accuracy, athletic ability. I mean, this kid prior to the season was looking like a third, fourth round pick, and it's probably worked its way up to a first round pick, even top 15, at worst a second round pick. So he's definitely improved his stock tremendously. Conference USA championship game, 24th ranked Southern Miss going against one of the two remaining undefeated teams, 6th ranked Houston. And for me, it's just hands down, I'm going with Houston in this game.
You think Casey Keenan's going to do his thing, if you will, going to go throw all over him, if you will?
Yeah, the guy has been incredible. I mean, throwing the football with that run-and-shoot attack, if you will. And this is a program that's been putting out a lot of quarterbacks over the years. And recently with Kevin Cobb, I mean, you can go back to Andre Ware. I don't know if you remember the name, David Klingler. And,
yeah,
I mean, so this is – you know, none of those guys, they were great college quarterbacks. None of them really excelled at the pro level. I mean, Kevin Cobb has a chance, but he hasn't yet. And but, you know, this is a program that has been throwing the football around for over 20 years now, and it's been putting some QBs in the NFL. I'm going with Houston.
Yeah, I like Houston, too. You know, obviously this is going to be a good game because I think Houston's defense is getting a little bit better. Their defense has improving. So this is going to be interesting. But, you know, obviously they do have the Southern Miss has got a good quarterback in Austin Davis, too. He's thrown for, like, over 3,000 yards, too. So, you know, he's a senior.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be a pretty good game. It is going to be a lot closer than I think people are going to think, but I'm going to give the nod to Houston, just like you.
Exactly. All right, next matchup we have, the Big Ten championship game, Wisconsin, 15th-ranked Wisconsin, 13th-ranked Michigan State. We all know what happened the first time these two teams matched up early this year. Michigan State won the game on a Hail Mary. I'm going to go with Wisconsin this time around.
Yeah, you gotta. This is interesting because it is at home for Michigan State too. So.
But they actually on a neutral field. This game is in Indianapolis.
Oh, is it Indianapolis? Okay,
yeah.
I take that back. Yeah, you got that. Okay, yeah. So good point on that. You know, I am kind of leaning towards Wisconsin as well because they've played well. Obviously, big win over. They played Iowa last week, correct? If I'm not mistaken, who did they pull it out? If I'm not mistaken,
Michigan State.
So I think that Michigan. No, Wisconsin. Who did they just play? I think they just played Iowa.
Wisconsin beat Penn State this past weekend. Beat them
Penn
pretty
State,
bad
okay,
too.
Yeah, that was a good game too. So I think they're kind of like getting that momentum, if you will. And so I think they're going to pull it out too. So that's just me. So I'm leaning towards it. And like I said, I'm not trying to get on your coattails too, but I'm kind of thinking that, you know, Monte Ball's running crazily. Russell
Wilson.
Yeah,
he's having an incredible year.
A lot of confidence too. So they're going to keep it rolling, I think.
Yeah, I think they give Michigan State a little bit of revenge. Of course, the winner of this game goes to the Rose Bowl, play the winner of the Pac-10. Championship.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I see Wisconsin is winning this game. And, you know, both of Wisconsin's losses are actually lost on Hail Mary plays. I think they're the better team here, and they give Michigan State a little bit of revenge. Let's move on to the ACC Championship game, fifth-ranked Virginia Tech going against Clemson in Charlotte for the ACC Championship game. Clemson beat them the first time this year. Just like the Big Ten Championship, I'm going with the other team. I'm going with Virginia Tech this time around, even though the game's in Charlotte, which is a little bit closer to Clemson.
This is a tough one, Rob. I don't know what's happened to Clemson. They've been I don't know if they're just Taj Boyd. It just hasn't been playing well. I don't know. And obviously, Logan Thomas is really stepping into his own as the quarterback for Virginia Tech, too. So, it's kind of a coin flip for me. I'm probably going to have to lean towards Virginia Tech too, just because I don't know if Clemson has been playing that well. They've lost three of the last four, so it's just not good for Clemson. So you want to pick teams that are kind of peaking near the end of the season. So that's where
exactly. That's
where I'm going. Yeah. So
it seems
there you
as
go.
Though Clemson has had this issue for a few years now. They've start fast and kind of just mm-hmm. fade down the stretch, and it's just they just have a huge nosedive right now, and just seems to be falling apart. So this game actually could get pretty ugly, in my opinion. Virginia Tech, I think they might even beat Clemson pretty handily. And
yeah.
Going to the SEC Championship game, 14th ranked Georgia at number one LSU, and should be a very interesting game. And I know Georgia seems to be very hyped up for this game, and as well as LSU. Both teams, want to show a lot of intensity in this game. And I say this every week. I don't want to sound like a homer, but I'm going with LSU in the Georgia Dome.
I love it. And this is the thing. Now, I'm not going to let my feelings for the Georgia Tech game come into the play. I really hope LSU wins. There we go. and this is going to be a good game too. And I think, you know, obviously you can't be intimidated with LSU, and I think Georgia does have a pretty prolific offense. But I don't think they've seen a defense like LSU, and that's no knock against obviously some teams they played against earlier, but they were struggling, against Vanderbilt. They struggled against Kentucky. They pulled out these games, but I think LSU is gonna be a good game. I know
yeah.
Georgia thinks they have a pretty good defense. I don't think they've played any. They played some good teams, and obviously they've won a lot of games in the past too. The last team that had a lot of explosive firepower was a Boise State, which kind of gave them some challenges. But it's a big stage. And I do think that LSU is going to pull this out.
Yeah. I do think Georgia can play with LSU in the trenches, unlike most teams. And Georgia has a lot of big bodies in the trenches, so they probably can play with LSU in the trenches, at least a lot better than what Arkansas did this past weekend. But yeah, but I still don't think they have the overall team that LSU has, at least not this year. And so I like LSU to win, even.
And let me ask you a question too. So how do you think that? And this is a good question too. Do you think Arkansas has a pretty, you know, potent offense as kind of that's kind of comparable to Georgia, or do you think a little notch below, or how do you rank Arkansas versus Georgia offensively?
Well, I think Georgia has, of course, the better tight end in the passing game with Arson Charles. I think overall Arkansas maybe has a little bit more of a speedier wide receiver group, but Georgia has the bigger wide receivers. They have the tall, the lanky wide receivers. And I think the quarterbacks are comparable with Tyler Wilson and Aaron Murray. But I think what it's going to come down to in this particular matchup is, as you saw with Arkansas, Arkansas cannot block LSU's defensive front. And I don't think Georgia is going to be able to block LSU's defensive front either. And so, and plus LSU's secondary is very good too. I mean, LSU has enough depth in the secondary where they can cover any team. But I do think, like I said, I did say Georgia can play in the trenches, but I was more so talking about Georgia's defensive front. I think Georgia's defensive front could play, they may be able to slow down LSU's running game a little bit, similar to what Alabama did. I don't know if they'll do it as good as Alabama, but they can. I think they can play in the trenches and on defense. But I'm still not convinced that Georgia's O-line will be able to block LSU's defensive front, especially when LSU is rotating eight guys in and out on the defensive line, and they all can play. And so you're keeping those guys fresh as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a challenge, too, because, you know, like you said, too, they've got a pretty good secondary, and Georgia's dealing with some injuries with their running backs, too. So, you know, obviously Isaiah Crowell, you don't know how he's not 100%, and that's going to be, you don't have that balance. So if you're going to, you want to put it in Aaron Murray's hands, but you want to have enough balance, too, to run the ball, too. So this is going to be, like I said, going to be a good game. So there you go. Mm-hmm.
Exactly, yeah. One last college football game we can make out quick. Even though there's not a Big 12 championship game, we kind of do have one this weekend. Oklahoma, 10th rank, on the road at 3rd rank, Oklahoma State. And that is college football's game of the weekend. Who do you like?
Woo, college football's game of the weekend, huh? Wow. Rob, I hit the wrong button. This is going to be interesting. Believe it or not, I'm not a – you're going to hate me, Oklahoma fans. I'm just not a fan of Bob Stoops in the big game. I got to go Oklahoma State.
I'm going that's Oklahoma just, State at home as well.
That's just me. I don't know what it is.
I think I have to go with Oklahoma State in this game as well. And I definitely think they bounced back after the Iowa State loss from a couple of weeks ago. And they've had 2 weeks to prepare for Oklahoma. And they're at home. I think they just got a lot riding in their favor. And what I'm really curious to see is if Oklahoma State make a statement in this game and beat Oklahoma pretty handily and try to convince voters that they deserve to be in the national championship game over Alabama. Well, that should be really interesting to see how that that shakes out. But I do think if they somehow beat Oklahoma pretty handily, they may make a case to voters to put them in at number two. So we have to wait and see how that that kind of shakes out. I think it's going to be more like a 3-10 point victory. So I'm not so sure it's going to be they're going to beat Oklahoma really bad, but I still like them to beat Oklahoma.
Yeah, they're going to try real hard to, like you said, run up the score, do some things, and kind of, as you mentioned, kind of make a case for themselves too. So, you know, and this is something too. I know we have about 5 minutes to go, so we can jump into some pro. But, you know, I guess we'll have to talk about that next week as far as if you want to go into that national championship again, playing Alabama too, because I'm sure Oklahoma State's going to want something to say and try to, like you said, make a push and get the national championship.
I'd say another team that a lot of people are not talking about that I think should be in this conversation too is Virginia Tech. I mean, if Virginia Tech wins this weekend, they'll be the only other program in the nation with a besides LSU with 12 wins in the BCS six conferences. And but you know, and I think they deserve just as much consideration to be in a national championship game as well. If they beat Clemson and go 12-1, I mean, they're the only other Division I BCS conference school with at least 12 wins. And but I'm not hearing a lot of people pushing them up to that level. But in my opinion, they should be right there in that talk too. And it, maybe if they have a convincing win over Clemson, you know, teams may you know, feel the need to vote them in as well. And I know we're down a few minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say this. Yeah, I don't think that's as sexy a game, if you will. But, you know, we'll see how it plays out, too, because I'm sure talk about them. You can also talk about Boise State once again. I'm sorry to bring that up, too. But, you know, it is what it is. We'll see how everything plays out.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Go ahead.
I know we got about a few minutes left. We got about four big games in the NFL this weekend. Just to recap this past weekend, you know, Green Bay, of course, keeps winning. And the Dominic and Sue looks like he's going to be suspended, but he's got an appeal tomorrow. And I can't see the NFL, I can't see him winning that appeal. So at worst, they maybe reduce it to one game. But, you know, my guess is that it'll probably stay at two games. 49ers losing only their second game of the season against the Ravens. Your Falcons keep winning. Falcons on a two-game winning streak. And the Cowboys almost blew a game against the Dolphins, but they were able to pull it out as well.
The Dolphins,
I thought, outplayed them, but, you know, they had to settle for too many field goals, and they had a couple of good drives where they didn't get any points on them. And, yeah, the Dolphins did kind of blow that game. But we got four pretty good matchups, I think, this weekend in the NFL. I'm going to start with Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh 8-3, Cincinnati 7-4. It's a big NFC North matchup. Pittsburgh did win the first matchup at Cincy. I actually think they're going to beat Cincinnati again and finish off the sweep.
I agree. Too much pressure for Cincinnati. They're kind of young, so I'm still going with the more veteran Pittsburgh team.
And in my Lee Corso voice, I think it's going to be closer than the experts think. But I think Pittsburgh's going to win the game. Atlanta.
I'm firing this off because of the time, too, but go ahead.
Yeah. Atlanta on a road against Houston, 7-4 at 8-3 Houston. This could have been a really good, interesting matchup if Matt Schaub was healthy, or even Matt Leinart for that matter. But it looked like Houston is going to go into this game with their third-string quarterback, and I think Atlanta goes on the road and win this game.
It's going to be a tough game. I think it's going to be really close. Atlanta's got to step up their game. We're going to see a lot of Adrian Foster going to try to protect their young quarterback, but only because of the fact that we have a little bit more explosive weapons, and I think that Yates is prone to make a mistake, too. So that's where I think we're going to get the edge.
Yeah, T.J. Yates, by the way, is a Marietta, Georgia native, so he's going against his hometown team. And,
North Carolina product, correct? He went to North Carolina,
but he's actually played high school ball in Marietta, Georgia, and going against his hometown team. So that should be interesting. Unfortunate luck for Houston. You know, I picked them to win the AFC South before the season, and I picked them to go to the AFC Championship game before the season. But I think it's going to be a little hard now without having Schaub, or for that matter, Matt Leinart. They signed Jake Delhomme yesterday. But, you know, I can't see him playing and contributing this quickly for this weekend's game. Green Bay undefeated on the road at the Giants. You know, there's some people that actually think that the Giants may have a chance. I'm not one of those people. I think Green Bay goes on the road win this game pretty handily.
Yeah, same thing. Green Bay has too much firepower, definitely.
And last but not least, a Sunday night matchup, Detroit Lions 7-4 on the road against my New Orleans Saints 8-3. And like I said, I don't want to sound like a homer, but, you know, I'm picking my Saints this Sunday night over the Lions.
Saints should pull it out, especially with the loss of Dominic Sue. They don't have that playmaker. It's going to make it a little easier for you guys, so I'm going with the Saints as well.
Very good, very good. I don't know how much time we have left in the show here. Yeah, well,
yeah, let's wrap it
looks
up.
Looks like we squeezed it all in America tonight.
Yeah, like I said, so this is next Wednesday as well. If you don't catch us, we'll see you guys talking to you with Sports Talk with Talking Sports 12 Men. Have a good one, sweet people.
Bonny and LeJone, people. Good night.
And just cut us off, too. Literally, I cut the last part in. Oh,
it's a little Cajun talk for him.
That was good, though. You gotta start with some Cajun talk, too, man, next time. We'll have to add that in. And I'll get that, too, because I guess my little jingle takes about a minute so or a couple seconds, too, so I'll cut that a little lower, too, so we have enough time to get our last little points in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, well, at least we squeezed everything in just in time. Well, it seemed like we'd be rushing towards the end.
Well, I mean, like I said, it's like, you know, you don't want to get a lot of stuff in. Because the first, I'm somebody, man, the 30 minutes, it always surprises me how fast it flies by. When it's just me, it seems like it takes an eternity. Whenever it's me and you, you know, it's like it flies by. And, you know, like you said, you know, there's a certain amount of points that I want to say, and I'm like, all right, I'll get into this. And I guess I want to be a little bit more succinct whenever I say those points. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
It's good, man. So I started losing my voice. I was like, oh, man, I was trying to drink some water and make sure my voice was coming through. So I'm glad that was fine. And, you know, I was trying to look at something. I was like, oh, I was trying to remember my points. See, I wrote all this stuff down, and I couldn't find my little sheet. So I was like, oh, man, I was trying to remember what I was talking about. So, you know, I got my little pad moving forward now, so we're good.
Yeah. Mhm. Yeah. Cool beans, man. Cool beans.
Yeah. Yeah. Good job, man.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm gonna.
I know there's some other games this weekend, but I didn't even think it was worth talking about the Pac-10 or the Pac-12 championship game.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, at this point, you know, it's just highlights.
UCLA,
you know,
six. I mean, come on.
They had a lot of firings, too, that were going down, too. So it's just too much stuff to get into. Jack Del Rio getting fired, and Rick Neuheisel, a lot of those guys got fired. So it's just, you know, we got to, like, stick to, like, the more of the bigger stuff, too, because if that's the case, we'll be here highlighting everything. So, you know, I think it's a pretty good dose about what's going on. We're not, like, hitting every single thing, but we're still kind of, you know, talking about the most important things, too. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But I was impressed with your boy, too, Drew Brees, too. There's a Monday Night Football game, too. So that was pretty cool to see him sitting down with John Gruden and going over his little progressions. That was very insightful. So, yeah.
Impressive. Yeah, that's the first time I've seen that, showing something like that.
And he said he goes through, he does all the throws. He goes this throw. He makes all his progressions. I mean, that's pretty freaking impressive, man. Because,
mm-hmm.
You know, he never gets caught off guard with anything. So he's like, I can see the coverages. I do all the motions for my throws. I know where it's going. So he's a repetition quarterback, you know. So he knows where he's, which, like I said, it's obviously working because he's, you know, breaking records, passing the, you know, obviously killing Dan Marino's record. And he's killing Tom Brady's record, too. So he's just, you know, impressive, at least.
Yeah, and Saints offensive line is blocking a lot better than it was early in the year. Now that they've gotten that offensive line kind of situated, and they realize that signing Olin Kreutz early in training camp was a mistake. And once they kind of got rid of him out of the line and got Zach Streif healthy, they've been really blocking and protecting the quarterback well.
Was Olin Kreutz like a last-minute thing, or what was the deal with him? I know he kind of, like, retired abruptly or something like that, too, but what was the deal with
what? You know,
the
last few years, the center has been Jonathan Goodwin for the Saints. And I think Jonathan Goodwin is, like, 32 or 33 years old, and the 49ers offer him, like, a 3-year, $10 to $12 million deal. And the Saints did not want to pay him that much money because they feel like we got a center in waiting and Matt Tennant from Boston College.
Yep.
And so they let Goodwin go, but they still weren't quite ready to throw Tennant in the fire just yet. So they still wanted like a bridge. And so they went out and signed Olin Kreutz. And but Olin Kruse, man, he was a disaster, man. The teams were blowing him up the middle, and people were getting pressure on Drew Brees up the middle early in the season. And,
that's the worst thing for a quarterback, too.
Yeah, man, it was a disaster. And but I think King, the first Tampa Bay game when Tampa Bay beat us, I think that was like the last straw. The Saints went to him and was like, well, we're going to have to bench you. And and as a result of that, Kruse just decided to walk away. And
wow.
But Brian De La Punta, man, the guy they got playing center right now, he's been doing a tremendous job. This is an undrafted free agent. Out
wow.
of California. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, played
okay.
at Cal. Give Marcy School some prop.
Yeah, she'll like that, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, the offensive line haven't given up a sack in three straight games now that they've gotten those issues kind of figured out. But I will say the Falcons, out of all the teams that have played the Saints this year, they have been the one team that's been able to stop Darren Sproles in the flat. So drafting those linebackers, Weatherspoon and Curtis Lofton.
Yeah.
And those guys were able to contain Sproles in the flat when we played the Falcons.
Yeah, they made it a focus too because unfortunately we try to draft our little Darren Sproles, and I'm not saying that Jaquizz Waters is anything like him. He's not. He's just not as fast and quick. But we realize that you kind of draft for your division. You know, like all right, we got to stop Drew Brees. We got to get some linebackers that used to come in the pass. You know, Curtis Lofton mm-hmm. is doing his thing. Steven Nicholson, I think he's a decent guy. I think next year we'll address the outside linebacker, the strong side position, so
mm-hmm.
Just to get a little bit more better to kind of stop the run. But, you know, we definitely have our hands full with you guys. And then, you know, obviously I didn't say this on the call, but Britton Rhymes, he had a knee injury, so he had a little minor surgery. So he's going to be out for a couple weeks, too, so that's going to affect us, too. So it's going to be interesting to see how we're able to pull it together. So we got like two turnstile rookies coming in. It's going to be interesting to see how they hold up with Andre Johnson coming back. You know, so that's going to be another challenge too.
Oh, Andre Johnson's playing this week?
Yeah, they're talking about he's coming. I think he's like 80%, but I think he's going to try to give it a go. So, you know.
Yeah, he's been out a while now.
Yeah, yeah. He's trying to creep
Carolina
up in fantasy
to
football
Wisconsin.
Too, man.
Hmm.
Yeah, you're trying to creep up in fantasy football, too. I see that, man.
Man, I told you, man, I'm going to keep fighting, scratching, and clawing, you know.
I had a bad week, so I was like, man, this is the one week that I had a bad week, man. So that's the one week I was nervous about, too. It's like, you know, you had one of those bad weeks, and you want to have just enough so that, you know, you're about 80-something points down, I want to say. So I gotta have a big week from Aaron Rodgers, man.
Yeah, I think right now I'm down 45.
Are you down only 45? Well, here we go.
Yeah, after this past week.
Oh, man, I need a big week. Gotta get that league extended.
No,
get
man, I need a big week, man.
Nah,
I need
man.
A big week, man. I either got to take the lead or I got to cut into the lead quite a bit.
How did Janikowski get like 19 points for you? That's insane.
I saw you put that up. But you know how he kicked six
like
field
six
goals,
goals,
which is 18
yeah.
points, and then he kicked it one extra point, which made it 19.
Good move, man. Good strategic move, man. I like it.
And yeah, I just picked him up, too.
Well, lucky son of a gun. I'm killing your league, too, man. I actually didn't think I was going to do good, man. I thought I was down 118 to 136 or something like that. I ended up pulling out the win on Monday. I had
yeah.
Cruz, and I had Brandon Jacobs to play, but that was pretty much it. And he had a Eli Manning at quarterback, so I thought he was going to pull out some stuff on me.
Oh, you got Eli Manning?
No, he had the guy that I was playing had Eli Manning.
Oh, the guy had Eli Manning. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I have Victor Cruz in your league, so him scoring two touchdowns helped me out too.
Yep, I had Victor Cruz in that league, and then Brandon Jacobs. So I got a touchdown from Brandon. That was the only scoring I got, you know. So, you know.
Yeah, man. I gotta keep coming for you, man. I gotta keep coming.
I gotta have a good week, man. Aaron Rodgers, he did decent, but at one point.
Man, Aaron Rodgers has been spectacular, man. What you talking about?
I'm saying he's been good. It's like said, everyone else let me down. Like Calvin Johnson at one point. You know, Jordy Nelson didn't give me a lot that game. You know, it just wasn't enough to kind of pull away. I only had like 58 points or something like that. So I was a little disappointed in that one. But it is what it is.
Yeah, T.J. Yates.
There you go. It's your boy.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. They're going to try to protect him and run the ball a lot.
Yeah.
Falcons probably can play the 8 men in the box in this game.
Yeah, like I said, you know, just the threat of Andre Johnson, that's going to scare us because we don't have our top. We got Dante Robinson, and he may have some motivation because he's playing against his old team, but, you know, it's still one of those situations. It's a scary game, no matter how you look at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, should be interesting.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
All right, sir. Yeah.
I'm not going to hold you up, Chief.
Yeah, man, you have a good week. We'll definitely talk more than so, I'm sure. Just this is the first time we didn't get a chance to kind of do any pre-talk stuff. So, you know, it's all good.
Oh, yeah. Do it again next Wednesday, bro.
I didn't get a chance to do my little Allen Houston comment, man. I was looking forward to that, too, man. Nick's still paying Allen Houston?
Oh, man.
And actually, that was an amnesty thing, too. That was the best move that Nick's ever did. They didn't even waive him. They still kept him, and, you know, that was, you know, financially a intelligent decision. So, yeah.
Yeah. Like, what's the guy that the Hawks signed one time? John Contract?
John Contract. That dude right there.
Yeah,
I was hoping
they changed his John Contract, but they changed his name of Contract.
That was one of the worst deals ever. Yeah, you don't remember this guy, too. You remember Chris Crawford? That name sound familiar?
Chris Crawford, he's a white guy, right?
Yeah,
he was a white guy, right? Yeah, I remember him too.
Man, Pete Babcock, dude has a big game versus the Knicks. He scores 26 points in the playoffs. Pete Babcock, that was his right duty to sign him to extend, you know, gives him big money for one game. dude's out of the league, obviously, but man, I remember meeting him too. You know, cocky son of a gun. I'm like, dude, you're going to re-sign this cat for one game? It was another contract. We're like, why? But I was hoping that we re-release Joe Johnson for amnesty, but, you know, that's too much to ask.
Why you want to release Joe Johnson? He's your best player.
Money.
Huh?
Money.
Oh, what you going to get for him?
Dwight Howard. make a trade, make it happen, man.
I guess you can dream a little, huh?
Yeah, I'm just being facetious too, but, you know, obviously, we'll see. But I'm just saying, since we didn't get bought out, since the Spirit Hawks didn't get bought out, you know, we're kind of like, man, we're always going to be on the outside looking in, man. We don't have enough firepower, and then everyone else around us is getting better. So, you know, I know the Hawks are interested in Big Baby. So, there you go.
And we need him in NOLA.
He's from there.
Yeah, he's from Baton Rouge down the road. But yeah, we can use him in NOLA.
Yeah. Like I said, that's the rumor that he likes Atlanta, too, so.
Kazan, Big Baby Davis.
Yep.
All right, Chief.
Yeah,
I'm not going to keep you, Doc.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to go to sleep, bro. We'll talk, man, definitely.
All right, Chief. All right, take care, man.
All right.
Yeah.
Later.